So we're going to read Luke chapter 21, and we're going to begin to read at verse 5. Luke 21, beginning to read at verse 5. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not come at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves, and you know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until this has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." And every day he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet, and early in the morning all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Let's just pray as we turn to his word together. Father, we thank you for these insights, this prophecy of what's going to happen. And we pray, Lord God, that you would open our minds and help us to take these things seriously and to be ready And encouraged by these words, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you've heard any of these phrases or words over the recent weeks. I'm pretty sure you will have done. This is unprecedented. I wonder how many times you've heard that over the last few weeks. Or you've heard someone saying, this is a really strange time. Or perhaps you've heard the word apocalyptic. Things seem apocalyptic. Or things seem of biblical proportions. I read an article that said something about biblical proportions, and it was actually nothing to do with COVID. It was talking about the locusts. I don't know if you know, but there's a massive swarms of locusts in East Africa at the moment. And they were speaking of them being of biblical proportions. Unprecedented, strange times, apocalyptic, biblical proportions. On Facebook, you might have seen some of the people doing this. You know, if you're on Facebook, you'll see that sometimes it reminds you of something that happened on this day in previous years. Sometimes I get a photo that I took 7 or 8 years ago that it reminds me of something I did on that day so many years ago. And people are, to help them remember in the future, they're writing a list of all that's going on at the moment and saying, I'm going to remember this in times in the future when it comes back. And it says, look, this 5 years ago or whatever, this is what happened. They see that what is going on is momentous, perhaps beyond what we can currently understand. And surely, for once, this is something that we can all agree on, however old or young we are. We have never experienced a time like this. A global pandemic with a global response. I guess, if you're like me, there'll be moments when the strangeness of what's going on just really moves you, really sort of sinks in. There's been a few times when I've just suddenly thought, I feel like I'm in a film set. I feel like I'm part of some science fiction film, where people queue outside the supermarket, where no one greets one another with a hug or with a shake of the hand, where people are a bit nervous about what other people think about what they're doing, where we're a bit cautious about going outside, wondering what people will think or whether the police will be happy with what we're doing. And this situation, this environment that we're living in raises a question. And I think it raises a question among Christians and non-Christians, wondering, is this something bigger going on? Is this the end of things as we know it? Maybe even, is this the end of the world? Christians might put it like this. Are these signs that Jesus is coming back? And it's that topic that I want to address today. I suspect that most of you will at least at some point or other seen a picture or a film, or perhaps seen in person, someone walking the streets with what we would call a sandwich board. So they walk around perhaps a high street, and they might have a straps over their shoulders and a big board down the front that says something, and a big board on their back. And they're sort of might be advertising something, but sometimes these people have a religious motive. They might be preachers of God, and it might say on the front something like, the end is nigh. And on the back, maybe, repent and believe. And certainly if it's on the television, almost certainly if you see something like that, people are mocking them. People are laughing. It's a joke. Someone thinks that the end is nigh. What planet are they on? And they ignore them in the street and laugh. But suddenly, in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of a lockdown, people are thinking more seriously. They're wondering about the future. They're wondering about their future. They're wondering about the future for their children. And so as we consider this topic of what's ahead, I think it's helpful just to start by saying and to admit that godly Christians disagree about many of the details of what's going to happen, of how things are going to end. Godly people, people that I respect from all sides of Christian denominations and circles, people don't all have the same opinion about the details of how these things are going to work out. And perhaps that's to do with the fact that we're working with prophecy. And prophecy sometimes is hard to interpret. We can see the main thrust, but it's hard to understand some of the details. But just because of that, I don't want to stop preaching about something like this. And I want to stick today with things that we agree on, the big picture that Christian, mainline Christian teaching has agreed on throughout the centuries. So I'm sorry if you've come and listening this morning wanting to check that I tick all the right boxes and cross. I'm not going to go into all the details. I just want to talk about the big picture. We're going to stick today with thinking that Jesus is going to return. We're going to be thinking today that there is going to be a judgment of the living and the dead. We're going to be thinking today that Jesus is coming to establish his kingdom fully and completely and finally. We're going to be thinking today that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. This is the certain hope and joy of every Christian. That one day the sin and sickness and decay and pain and suffering of this world will be gone. And there'll be an eternity to enjoy tangible blessings and fellowship with God and his people. We'll be in a renewed creation. There'll be perfect harmony. This is the certain hope and joy of every Christian. And when we look to Luke 21, we find Jesus answering a question or several questions that the disciples asked. I think in their minds it was one question, but I think probably it splits into at least two parts. He'd prophesied from verse 5 onward that the sort of destruction of the temple. You look at verses 5 to 7, he's talking about destruction. It seems like the disciples were quite proud of the temple and how wonderful it was and the stones and the offerings. And Jesus makes the point, well, they're not going to be on top of one another for very long. There's going to be a day when these things will be thrown down and not one of those stones will be on top of another. There'll be a destruction of this temple. And the disciples ask, when will these things be? And what will be the signs that these things are about to take place? Verse 7. You'll find that there's a parallel passages in Matthew 24 and in Mark 13 that you might find helpful to read alongside later on that cover the same material. And Matthew, very helpfully in this point about the questions, notes that the second question, what are the signs that these things are about to take place, specifically is about the end of the age. And so as Jesus responds, there are some things that he's saying that we need to listen to. He's speaking to us. And it reminds us that this book that we've got in front of us is a living book. It's a book that speaks to today. It's a book that's more up to date than today's newspaper. It's a book that God uses to speak to our hearts and souls today. And so listen to what Jesus says to you about the situation in which we're living. The first thing he says to us, he says many more than these, but I've just chosen three things. He says to us that pestilence is a sign. Look at verse 11. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and pestilences. Talk about the detail of that in a minute, but let's just look briefly at some of the signs that Jesus gives us in this passage. That the end of the age is coming. Verse 8. That there'll be people that come claiming to be the Messiah. There'll be people that come that pretend to be Jesus. I did a little bit of a research. I went onto Google and said about the second coming or people claiming to be Jesus. And it came up with a Wikipedia page. I couldn't believe that there was a Wikipedia page. But there was the most enormous table, you can find it yourselves, of all the people over history who have claimed to be Jesus. Or claimed that Jesus was coming then, or a particular time. All the failed prophecies of man about when this was going to happen. You'll see that there's one very recently, a cult in South Korea at the moment, who are claiming the Messiah has come. Matthew 24:23-27 tells us not to worry about these things, because when Jesus comes, it will be like lightning. He says that everyone will see. There will be no doubt about the fact that he has come. So if someone comes and says, oh, come over here and see, Jesus has come back, don't listen to them, because you'll know when he comes back. There will be no mistake in it in your mind. For every eye will see, every tongue will confess that Jesus is King. Verses 9 and 10 tell us that there's going to be news of wars and tumults. There's going to be, that word tumults is instability or disorder. My mind went to things like the Arab Spring. And no doubt these things have gone right through the centuries. We've seen wars and tumults. They continue. These are the early signs, nations and kingdoms fighting against one another. In Matthew 24, verse 8, in a parallel passage, he says, this is like the beginnings of birth pains. So he's likening what's happening and Jesus coming to someone giving birth. And he's saying that, you know, to start with, a woman has contractions or funny feelings, and it's just not very often to start with, and they're small. But slowly and slowly they get stronger. Slowly and slowly they get closer together, and eventually the baby comes. So these things are early signs. These are things that should remind us and tell us that the day is approaching. And we can include famines and pestilences in these signs in verse 11. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be great terrors and great signs from heaven. Pestilences is a plague. Pestilence means a pandemic that we're in right now. Terrors is just a word to describe things that are frightening. It says that there'll even be great signs from heaven, possibly speaking of things in the sky or space. Pestilences are also mentioned in other prophecies about the future. In Revelation chapter 6 and 7 and 8, there's a man on a horse who brings pestilences to a quarter of the world. Verses 12 to 19 tell us that persecution of Christians is part of what is coming. In fact, it says that's a very early sign. Christians being persecuted. I don't know if you know, but if you don't, just get on the internet and find out about Christians being persecuted in the world today. Read about what's happening in places like North Korea. Read about what's happening in places like China, North Africa, many places across the world. Christians are being persecuted. In verses 20 to 24, there's this destruction of Jerusalem being prophesied, possibly at least in part referring to what happened in AD 70, a very near prophecy of what was going to happen when Jerusalem was overrun by the Romans. But yet, still a picture of things that are to come. And then let me just read from verse 25, some later signs. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and there will be and they will see the Son of Man in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, straighten up. Verse 27, interestingly, makes it plain that this is all connected with the coming of Jesus. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So we can't say that COVID-19 means that Jesus is coming back today or tomorrow or for certain this month or for certain this year or for certain this decade or even for certain this century. But he is coming, and disease is one of the signs. This is one of the early labour pains, one of the early contractions, and who knows how long it will be before the day that he comes. So pestilence is a sign. Jesus says to us, secondly, to be encouraged because our redemption is drawing near. He says that in verse 28. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where some news has come. You got some news from somewhere or from someone. And some people hear the news and they're really excited and encouraged. Some people hear exactly the same news and they're sad. They think the news is bad and someone else thinks the news is good. It's interesting how different people have responded to the news of the lockdown. Not that anyone thinks it's great, but there are some people who just can't bear the thought of never being able to touch people and see people and go out and speak and touch and communicate and be social. There are other people who don't find it such a challenge. It's not such a concern to them. They're quite happy to be on their own and to be quiet and to be, and perhaps they are even to some extent enjoying the fact that things are more peaceful. Or perhaps the news comes that the football season has been halted. Some of you are delighted. Thank goodness, no more football on the television. Some of them are very sad. Oh no. There is, of course, humanly speaking, good reason for all of us to feel a little bit nervous about the signs of Jesus' second coming. Some of these things that are prophesied in this chapter are not pleasant things. We're talking about terror and people having their foreboding of what's coming on the world, things being shaken, things that we took for granted, not being able to take them for granted anymore. But it's interesting that when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said that what they should do as they think about these signs and this news, they should be encouraged. This should be an encouraging thing to them. When they see these things taking place, it should cause them to straighten up, to raise their heads, which to me is like a posture of confidence, a posture of excitement. They're expecting something. This is how we stand when something good is happening. When we're sad, we have our heads down and we feel terrible. But the Lord is saying, among this news, we should be excited, we should be encouraged. The signs are coming, Jesus is coming back. Let's lift our heads up, let's look up, because a wonderful thing is happening. Jesus is going to return. And you might say, well, why? Specifically, he says, because, verse 28, your redemption is drawing near. Now, redemption is when someone is set free. A price that's been paid for them has given them freedom. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let this coronavirus make you fearful. Do not be paralyzed with terror as you consider what is to come. As you look and see these signs of the end of the age that remind you that Jesus is coming, be encouraged that God is in control and that his plan is being fulfilled. That the Lord Jesus will return and our redemption will be completed. Be encouraged as the Lord's return draws near. Let me just read you. It's interesting that this is the frequent tone of speaking about the Lord's return in the Bible. Come with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Listen to the tone. No doubt there's going to be things that happen that tempt us to be afraid, and things that happen that are shaken, and things that happen that aren't pleasant. But listen to the tone as he speaks about the coming of the Lord. Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do, who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. You're not going to miss that. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Notice that. Encourage one another with these words. Let's carry on. Now, concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And there's a Greek word in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 22, which is Maranatha. And it means, come Lord, come Lord. And this is the cry of the Christian. This has been the cry of the Christian throughout all the centuries. Come Lord, Lord, we long for you to come, for your kingdom to be established. Please Lord, come and reign. Please Lord, come and rule. Just like we've been yearning for the end of this lockdown. Oh, Lord, we want this to change. We don't want it to be like this for much longer. So, Lord, we cry out and we yearn. Come, Lord Jesus, come and show us your power. Show the world your power. Come and get your people. Come and show your glory. Come and rule and reign. Come and establish your kingdom. Come and bring this new heaven and a new earth, in which we will dwell face to face with you. And the Bible says that we will be like you. This is wonderful, that death will be gone, suffering will be gone, pain will be gone. So be encouraged as we consider the fact that there might be signs around us that the day is drawing close. Lastly, I want to say, Jesus says to us, be warned. Trouble and judgment is coming. Look at verses 34 to 36. We mustn't forget that the Lord's return is not just preempted by trouble, preempted by strainings and groanings on the earth, but the coming of the Lord Jesus brings eternal judgment. Jesus came the first time to save. He came to save the lost. He came to look for the lost, to seek the lost, to bring salvation to his people. But when he comes again, he will come in might and in splendor to judge the world. So the signs which bring an encouragement to the believer act as a sign of warning to the unbeliever. You remember I said that the same news is exciting and good to some and sad or bad to others. Those who have trusted in God, have turned to Him in repentance, and are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for their eternity will receive the promises that they've been given. That He's going to come back. He's been preparing a place for us, and He's going to come back and take us to be with Him where He was. Remember John chapter 14. But those who refuse to trust in Jesus, His return will be like a trap to them that catches them. Read verse 34 onwards. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. Judgment is coming. And we either face it trusting in what Jesus has done for us on the cross, the way of salvation that He has given us, or we face that day trusting that we are going to be good enough, that we've done enough on our own. We're standing on our own 2 feet. And friends, that's a very precarious place in which to stand. For the Bible tells us that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. You cannot earn a place in heaven. The only way to heaven, the only way to the Father, is through Jesus. Remember He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Me. And there are some terrifying words in the Bible that speak of this reality. I wouldn't dare say them unless it says it so plainly in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to start to read halfway through verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and halfway through verse 7. It says, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might, when He comes on that day to be glorified in His saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Terrifying words, that on that day we wouldn't be ready, that on that day we would, instead of being welcomed into His presence and enjoying God's blessings, we would receive punishment away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Friends, please don't play fast and loose with God. Please listen to the warnings of my voice. Please listen to the warnings of the Scripture. Please listen to the signs around you. Pestilences is a sign that Jesus is coming back. Who knows when? We need to be ready. A judgment is coming, and we must be ready for it by trusting in the Lord Jesus Himself. So, friends, these are definitely strange, unprecedented times. COVID-19 has changed our lives, certainly for the moment, and possibly for the rest of our lives on earth. But I would urge you to think even beyond the current restrictions and the current pains and the current hardships, and see this as a sign, a reminder that Jesus is coming back, that this is real, that God never breaks His promises. When He says He will do something, He will do it. And He's calling you today to respond to Him. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to be close to Him. And as we think about how we should respond to that, I just want to close by reading a portion of the Bible which speaks exactly to this point. And it's in Peter, the second book of Peter, 2 Peter and chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And have this in your mind. How should I respond knowing that this day is coming? How should I respond? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of a reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Saviour through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." But for they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished, reminding them of Noah. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The Lord is patiently holding back, waiting, because he does not wish that any should perish. The door is open. Salvation is free. Trust in the Lord Jesus to forgive your sin, to bring you into this relationship, which will result one day in you being with him for eternity. He's waiting. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So his patience is beyond our understanding. But there will be a day. Notice the but in verse 18. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. There will be no opportunity to change your mind at the last minute. He'll come like a thief, and things will change eternally. So friends, respond by being ready. And I just want to just direct a word to believers as you join with us, and I hope are encouraged by these things, that the day the Lord is coming, it reminds us to wait in holiness and godliness, verse 11, as we wait for the hastening of the coming of God. And I would encourage you, by all means, study these things. By all means, look at the details. By all means, have a strong opinion that you would stand upon about how you think these things are going to happen. But please keep the main thing, that we would be ready for this day when it happens. Whatever the order of things that's going to happen, however you particularly understand things are going to pan out, we pray, surely, that not only you, but your friends and neighbours, and your heart would be consumed, not with knowing all the dots and crosses, but Lord, with telling people to be ready for this day. Devote yourself to being ready for that day, and devote yourself to making sure that as many as possible around you are ready for that day too. Pray that God would help us in doing this, and work in people's hearts to convince them that these are not just myths and fairy tales, but this is a promise of God that will be fulfilled. Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing. Father God, we thank you again for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you, Lord, that you never lie. Thank you, Lord, that your promises are always fulfilled. And Lord, we pray as we look ahead, And we say, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, please come and release us from this pain of this earth and bring us into your glorious presence. Lord, might there be a real thrill in our souls to think of what it will be to be with you, our Saviour, for all eternity. And as we see these birth pangs, we see these labour, signs of labour, the pregnant woman, these contractions are coming. Lord, we sense that there's a day coming when this will happen, and it feels soon. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to live in holiness and godliness and give us power to declare the truth of the gospel. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do remember there's some songs. You might like to sing along to other songs on our playlist. It's on our YouTube live channel. You'll be able to find those at the top on the playlist. If you want to get in touch, you can email me at info@gracechurchloftus.co.uk. We next meet at 10:30 next Sunday morning, live on YouTube. And our closing song this morning, which we are going to play for you and we'd love you to sing along, is Love Divine or Love Excelling. Thank you.